The vine blight coiled around itself, her severed hand still in its writhing tendrils. Tasting bitter bile at the back of her throat, Thea nearly slipped in a puddle of crimson as she stood. Swaying as she clutched the bloody stump of her wrist to her chest, the warmth of her own blood seeped through her clothes as she panted through the pain and fought the urge to retch again. Spots swam in her vision, but she stayed upright. She had made one unimaginable choice after the other. Stormwielder or Warsword, her lover or her friends, her hand or her life. And now she stared at several more. Wilder or Wren or Cal or Kip or Malik. Her magic was gone. Her sword was gone. Malik's dagger was gone. All that she had left was Audra's jeweled ceremonial dagger, a letter opener against the monsters before her. Pain was a constant now, so prominent that she could hardly tell where one wound ended and another began. Her clothes were in tatters, crusted with blood. Her ankle threatened to give out beneath her, while blood still pulsed from the stump of her wrist. Althea Embervale was in pieces, and yet she stood, clutching the tiny blade in her one remaining hand. A spark of energy teased her fingertips, a whisper of what once was. It should have been impossible, but there was no denying that sputter of power from within. She knew its song better than she knew herself. Tilting her head to the sky, she embraced it all. The love, the pain, the reforging of herself amid the chaos. And there, barely able to stand, blood still flowing from her wounds, Thea decided that she would sacrifice no more. She would not choose. She had been made to choose her whole life. No longer. She had proven to within an inch of her life that she was strong of body, strong of mind, and at long last, strong of heart. Thea gripped the dagger and raised her chin in defiance, ready to meet her fate.
Even the smallest blade can make a difference.
She tasted rain in the wind, and then the air crackled. Thea breathed her first easy breath, recognizing the surge as her own power of which she had barely scratched the surface until now.
I am the storm.
Thea took hold of that kernel of magic inside and let it bloom. Let it unfurl into something fierce and unforgiving. Searing agony laced through her as lightning cauterized her wounds, her flesh burning into newly formed scars. Thea's magic charged through her, through the frozen lake beneath her. Brilliant white bolts danced across her skin and erupted into the air around her. Ready to unleash herself upon the world, Thea drew upon her magic and used it as the extension of herself that it was, calling bolts of lightning into being and taking aim at the remaining Reapers. Their shrieks became the melody of her storm, only serving to enrapture her thunder and lightning further. The snow swirling around her, around the entire lake, just as she commanded. Her lightning cleaved the chains holding her friends apart, and she let the storm rage on, refusing to contain it or herself for anyone or anything. She forged the chaos in the sky and the thunder snow that now swarmed. With one hand, Thea summoned the might of ancient storms, everything around swelling with unimaginable energy, energy that she alone could master. Bolts of blue-white lightning exploded in countless forks, spearing the ground below, banishing the shadow portals across the lake's surface in a near-blinding blaze.
I am the storm.
Finally, she speared the screaming Reapers with her lightning, burning their hearts with storm magic from the inside out. She conjured and wielded the storm, chasing the wisps of darkness with a torrent of snow and lightning, brilliant flakes careening across the land in a deadly gale. Thea stood at the heart of it all, splitting the sky open, inviting the blizzard to dance with her storm, charging each flake of snow with her magic, causing them to glow with a vibrant iridescence, before drawing them together in a halo of brilliant lighting. The force of it swallowed everything, an electrifying crown of her own making. Thea's thunder wiped away the final traces of darkness, of blood, of pain, and shook the very foundations of the mountain upon which she stood. For she was back where this had all begun. Back on the Fury's Mountain. And she was alone. Wilder, Wren, Cal, Kip, and Malik were gone. She was unwavering, immovable, even as three cloaked figures emerged from the mist before her. One by one, each woman lowered her hood. She knew them in her heart. The original war swords themselves.
The Furies.
The first Fury regarded Thea, her expression unreadable.
You carry yourself like a queen, Althea Ambervale.
The three goddesses were fierce and radiant before Thea, eyes ablaze like molten gold, the eternal guardians of the Great Rite, of the Midrealms themselves. It was only in their ethereal presence that Thea remembered that their names weren't known, that after all the legends told across the ages, their names had not lived on. They had not been honored in title or individual esteem. Rather, the force of them had been reduced to a woman's anger, a woman's rage, the Furies. And yet together, they formed a triarchy unlike anything the realms had ever seen. They stood in front of Thea now, unwavering against the advancing tides of chaos, determining the fate of men and now Thea herself.
Did you not hear me, Althea Ambervale? I said you carry yourself like a queen.
Ambervale.
Pain throbbed everywhere. But Thea lifted her chin when she addressed the great gods before her.
No. I carry myself like a war sword.
A slow grin spread across each beautiful face before her.
A new war sword stands before us then, sisters. One who can command storms as well as blades, it seems.
How? I thought I had to choose.
And you did.
But...
You were not born to wield steel and steel alone. We have never seen such fortitude of mind, body, and heart before. It takes something more to reconjure magic that has been stripped away.
Thea was a trembling mess, shock settling into her bones.
Does this mean... Does it mean I can be both? Both warsword and storm wielder?
A knowing smile tempted the Fury's lips.
Who's going to stop you?
Those words washed over Thea like a distant dream, and she found that she could only stare. Slowly, the pain she had felt so intensely only moments before ebbed away. Looking down, she realized that although she was still drenched in blood, she had both hands. She turned them over before her, examining each and every finger and the lines of her palms. Thea wasn't ready to tear her gaze away from the hand she thought she'd lost. She could move it freely, her clenched fist as strong as it had always been.
It happened.
The second Fury was watching her with fascination.
In a way. Lift your sleeve.
Unable to find her words, Thea pushed the ragged, stained material up. Around her wrist was a horrific scar, thick and ugly, mangled as though the torn flesh had been melted back together with little skill.
You will feel it for the rest of your life.
Thea looked up to find the third Fury studying her face intently.
And my sister? My friends? My...
The word caught in her throat.
Alive.
Relief barreled through Thea, and it was only then that she truly took in the sight of the gods before her. The gods that had created every nightmare she'd just endured. The three Furies stood side by side, emanating glory and immortality, power and wisdom. They were alike in so many ways, and unlike in so many others. Untouchable and yet everywhere all at once. From their beauty and grace alone, they could have been sisters. There was something otherworldly about them, but Thea couldn't pinpoint what made them so. It was not the flecks of golden ferocity in their eyes, nor the intricate, shimmering armor they wore over long skirts. Her vision blurred, and it took every last shred of willpower to keep herself upright.
I passed.
You did. It was quite a rite.
The first Fury watched Thea as though she were a specimen to be studied, her gaze flicking to the jeweled dagger Thea couldn't remember sheathing at her belt. Her fingertips tingled with power as she touched its pommel.
It's a beautiful weapon.
It belongs to a fellow woman warrior.
Thea wished Audra had been there to witness the moment.
Yes, it does.
And with a wave of the Fury's hand, Malik's dagger of Nervian steel materialized at Thea's belt once more.
Thank you.
Your efforts were valiant. There are few who can face themselves as well as their nightmares and emerge whole on the other side.
Thea felt anything but whole.
I doubt I'll feel like that until I see Ren, Cal, Kip, and Malik for myself. I doubt I'll feel anything until Wilder wraps his arms around me and we can finally speak the words we held back. Warsword to Warsword.
But Thea kept those thoughts to herself. The second Fury spoke next.
You will be honored with all that a Warsword of the Midrealms is owed.
Thea didn't dare speak. Not yet.
The rulers will bestow their gifts upon you when you return to their lands. But there is one piece we present you with here and now.
The third Fury stepped forward, her empty hands outstretched before her. A great sword materialized there. Its blade gleamed, honed to perfection, its sharp edge tapering elegantly into a lethal point. It had been crafted masterfully, exuding an aura of both beauty and power. Thea could barely breathe.
How long have I dreamed of this moment? Of having a blade of my own?
Are you ready to take your war sword vows?
Yes.
Light danced on the flat of the blade as the first Fury continued.
Hold the sword and you will hear the words. Make your oath now.
Heart pounding, Thea reached for the blade, wrapping her hand around the hilt covered in supple leather. At the contact, an ancient magic swept over her, words forming in her mind, just as the Fury had promised.
I, Althea Zoltaire.
But that is not your name, Stormwielder.
Thea faltered, adjusting her grip on the blade. Her magic hummed in response to that foreign power stirring within. She listened again.
I, Althea Embervale, pledge my sword and my life to the protection of the Midrealms.
She felt the depth of that promise in her bones.
In the light of the Furies, I swear my allegiance, my loyalty to casting the evil from these lands. I will hunt. I will punish. I will kill any and all who threaten these kingdoms. My blood, my steel are yours. I vow that in the end of days, I will answer the call.
As her oath left her lips, Thea gripped the sword fully in her hands, the rest of the strange world fading away as she gauged the weight of it. She'd never seen a more beautiful blade, had never held something that fit her so perfectly. The sword sang in her grasp, and she felt the whisper of its magic, its origin.
Nervian steel.
Yes, Stormwielder. Nervian steel. The last of it. Mined straight from the source. You are a war sword now.
The Fury touched the tip of her finger to the sharp point of the blade, and suddenly Thea could see it unfolding. The star shower with which the Furies themselves had struck the kingdom, a blur of bright, brilliant streaks across the night sky, the crater forming deep in the earth below, singing with their power, their magic. Now, Thea held it in her hands. At long last, she'd found the missing piece of herself, and it had been forged with blood and steel. She bowed her head.
Thank you.
And yet, this is not all you ask of us. Not all you had hoped for in the Great Rite.
No.
Then ask what you must. You have one question.
Thea lowered her new sword to her side, her body still singing with the weight of it in her palm. She met each Fury's gaze, pushing her shoulders back. They could grant her time, a life to share with Wilder, with the family she had made along the dark and stormy road. This was the moment she had waited for all her life, the opportunity to take fate into her own hands and master her own destiny. And so she took it.
What are your names?
Their expressions mirrored one another. and told Thea it wasn't often that the Great Furies themselves were surprised.
That is not the question you came here with.
No, it's not. But it is my question all the same.
No man who came before you asked such a thing.
I'm not a man.
Why do you ask it now?
Each of Thea's own titles surged through her.
Thea, Althea Nine Lives, Althea Zoltaire, Althea Embervale, Shieldbearer, Guardian, Wraith Slayer, Shadow of Death, War Sword, Heir. Because there is power in names, and women whose might is etched in history deserve to have their names carved there too.
The Furies exchanged looks with one another, a silent conversation taking place between them before the third stepped forward.
This is all you ask?
It's all I ask.
The goddess nodded.
Then I am Iseldra.
The second came forward next.
And I am Morwen.
The first Fury smiled now.
And I am Valdara.
Iseldra, Morwen, and Valdara. It's an honor to meet you.
Thea bowed low. She wondered if it would be the only bow she ever made of her own free will to those who had earned it, rather than out of obligation.
The honor is ours.
The trio of goddesses watched her intensely, and silence pulsed in the gulf that opened up between her and the Furies. Thea's fingertips tingled, with her magic or theirs, she didn't know. At long last, she turned to leave, to put the great rite behind her.
Althea.
Morwen called her back.
Regarding the other question you had.
Iseldra gave Thea a knowing look.
Immortality.
We are glad you didn't ask it.
Valdara clasped her hands in front of her.
For we would not have granted it to you.
Stunned, Thea could only stare at the goddesses before her. She didn't know how much more her heart could take.
You will do more than enough in the time you have left.
But Iseldra gave Thea a far sterner look.
There is too much love in your heart for you to be an immortal.
Thea's stomach bottomed out.
I...
Morwen raised a hand, silencing her.
You cannot live forever without love.
Valdara came forward again, fitting her palm over the fate stone that rested beneath Thea's shirt.
And you will love no other.
The piece of jade warmed against Thea's skin under the Fury's touch, and she stared at the gods. There was more to the words leaving their lips. She was sure of it, but...
Go now, Althea Embervale. Warsword and Stormwielder of the Midrealms. There is much to do.
Thea's grip on her Narvian steel sword tightened, and despite the ache in her heart, she knew there was no convincing them.
Thank you.
She bowed her head.
I will aim to be worthy of the honors you have bestowed here.
As the words left her lips, thick white mist swept in, obscuring the Furies from her view, lifting her into the air in a whirl of snow and light. Moments from the trials flashed before her as her body was pulled through time and space, the frost-kissed wind tangling her hair, stinging her cheeks. Then she fell to the ground beneath her boots. Not the slippery glass surface of the lake, but real, solid earth packed with snow. When she moved, she felt it. The Furies given strength, speed, and agility click into place. It was surreal to suddenly have such power behind every movement as though her body were too fast and strong for her surroundings all of a sudden. She marveled at it for a moment. She had been strong before, fitter and faster than she had ever been in her life. But now?
Now, I'm unstoppable.
As she took another step forward, she felt something close around her arm. She glanced down.
My war sword totem.
Made of perfect steel, it shone bright in the ethereal afterglow of the Furies. Two crossed swords, with a third cutting down the middle. Thea ran her thumb over it, almost not daring to believe that at long last, she had one of her own. But hers was different to those she had studied so intensely before. Behind the three blades were streaks of lightning.
What the?
She dropped her hand to her side.
Ah.
Her wrist twinging slightly with the movement.
I'll deal with that later.
The only thing she wanted to do now was see Wilder. to throw herself into his arms and rejoice in her victory, in their victory. She knew she would never regret her question, her choice. The Furies themselves had told her as much. Thea knew in her heart that whatever fate awaited her, she would rather live a single year with Wilder Hawthorne than face 1,000 lifetimes without him. Slowly but surely, the swirling mist receded, revealing a crisp, snowy day beyond. But Wilder wasn't there. In his place was an army. Harrenth's army, to be precise. With King Artus at its head, Thea marched towards the king, her hand resting on her Narvian steel blade, her warsword totem gleaming in the winter sun. In that moment, she forgot who she was meant to be, who Wilder was to the crown. She forgot the politics at play and all that mattered in the world kissed by darkness around her. Only one thing, one man, mattered.
Where is he? Where is my—
Prisoner?
Out of nowhere, Torj Elderbrock stepped between Thea and King Artus smoothly, clasping her hands in his, squeezing them hard in warning.
Congratulations, Warsword Zoltair, on both the right and your triumph here. We know we have you to thank for the traitor Wilder Hawthorne being apprehended once more. The Midrealms owes you a great debt.
Thea's heart threatened to burst from her chest. Whatever was happening was wrong. Incredibly wrong.
Why is Artus's army camped on the outskirts of these forests? Why is Torj calling Wilder a traitor again? Where is he?
But she found herself nodding, her instincts kicking in.
Thank you.
King Artus brushed Torj aside and pulled her into a long, hard embrace like a long-lost daughter.
My dear Althea, how you have triumphed time and time again. I am so proud.
Thea remembered a distant time where those words would have warmed her heart. The same way in which Artus's empath ability attempted to breach her exterior now in a bloom of heat.
But I'm a warsword now, and I know he's a treasonous bastard.
Twice she had saved his wretched life, and the damage he'd done with those chances was reprehensible. A lesson from long ago came back to her then.
The first lesson of being a warrior of Thesmar is this. Know that your actions have consequences, some more than others, and you will carry those with you for the rest of your life. Do you understand me?
She understood, all right. Artus Fairmore had taken her gifts of life and spat in the face of all she had once believed.
I know I don't have long left in the world, but I will end him before my time is done.
Still, she pasted a smile on her face.
All by the grace of your faith in me, sire.
Behind Artus, she saw Torj relax. He mouthed, later. Artus clapped her on the back before pulling away to look at her again.
Jassir is going to be thrilled. You have made history, Althea. Your name will live on throughout the ages. The first woman warsword since the original Furies themselves.
A victory for the women of the Midrealms, your majesty.
Thea pressed a hand over her heart and bowed.
Let us hope Thesmar allows any girl of the Three Kingdoms to take up arms as a shield-bearer from now on.
Indeed, indeed.
His attention seemed to be drawn elsewhere.
Forgive me, sire. Time is not the same within the Great Rite. Might you tell me how long since you arrived?
The king's face pulled with sympathy.
I can only imagine the terrors you faced, my dear. It has been 5 days since we set up camp here.
It took all of Thea's training and willpower to remain impassive.
Thank you.
Of course.
Her stomach churned at the sickly sweet note in his voice.
And what of my prisoner? Has the date for his trial been set?
King Artus looked surprised.
Trial? My dear, after the horrifying events of the Moonfire Eclipse, the rulers decided there will be no trial.
Thea fought the urge to double over.
No trial?
Absolutely not. He was sent to the Scarlet Tower as soon as we found him.
Thea did stumble then.
What do you know of the Scarlet Tower?
Enough. Enough to know that I too would have chosen death.
It had been one of the earlier conversations she'd shared with Wilder, where he'd been all thorns and arrogance. To think of him there...
Sire, might I suggest we allow Warsword Zoltair to retire?
Torj's stoic presence grounded Thea, reminding her to keep it together.
The Great Rite. It asks much of its contenders. She will need to recover.
Of course, of course.
King Arctis waved Torj off before addressing Thea directly.
You have our deepest gratitude, Althea. The traitor is where he belongs, thanks to you.
You have my word as a war sword, sire. Justice will be served.
Oh, I have no doubt.
King Arctis beamed.
You will find appropriate accommodations.
I'm afraid I cannot stay, Your Majesty.
But you must rest. Elderbrook here...
I was advised to make haste to Tavir, sire, to capture a stallion. I will need one for the war to come.
The king looked as though he wanted to argue, but something stopped him.
If that is the will of the Furies, then I cannot fault it.
It is, Your Majesty.
Thea bowed her head.
Very well, Althea. Take one of our finest geldings. I insist. Do send word once you have secured your warhorse. The Midrealms will have need of you yet.
Of course, sire. I am here to serve.
Thea dipped her head a final time before leaving the Dark King of the Midrealms in her wake. Silent promises of vengeance on her lips. First, she found a gelding, saddled and ready. Then Thea sought Torj.
Warsword Elderbrock, perhaps you might tell me the lay of the land for the Tavirian herds.
Torj nodded, taking her lead and walking well away from the war camp, back to the side of the road, her gelding in tow. Thea rounded on Torj as soon as they were out of earshot.
What the fuck happened?
He was injured.
Injured? He was whole when I left him.
Arachne venom rendered him completely incapacitated by the end.
But he's alive?
He's alive.
The pain on Torj's face told Thea enough of the fate that awaited her war sword.
By the time Dax came and got me, Arctis already had him.
Dax?
He's how we've been communicating between the different groups, and Terrence, too. Dax brought me here, but as I said, it was already too late.
That place is every imaginable horror incarnate.
In another lifetime, she and Wilder were aboard the Fury's Will with the others.
A sane man would wish for death before he set foot on that island.
Has anyone ever returned from there?
No.
Thea couldn't quell the hammering in her chest, nor the urge to call a storm down on them all as she looked upon the Bear Slayer.
You were the one to find him here?
Torj shook his head.
They had already taken him.
He moved a couple paces before pointing to a wide oak trunk.
He'd chained himself there, must have seen them coming. Made it look like you'd captured him before the Great Rite.
Thea crouched before the oak, noting the scuff of boot prints in the dirt. But something else caught her eye. She shifted closer to the tree, her heart catching at what she saw there, carved into the trunk. A message just for her.
A lightning bolt.
Grasping the grips of her new sword and Malik's dagger, the subtle hum of Narvian steel the only comfort the Furies could offer her, Thea got to her feet. She clung to the thunder rumbling in her chest and the storm magic rushing through her veins as she turned to Torj.
Well?
Torj handed her a pack of supplies and pointed to the road.
If you follow this trail till tomorrow's dawn, you'll come to a fork in the road. The first path will take you to Tavir. There, you'll come upon the valleys where the stallions rule.
And the second path?
It'll take you west. Far west, until you meet the seas.
Thea nodded.
Thank you.
I can accompany you.
Thea shook her head, her course crystal clear before her.
If not at Thesmar, your place is by the Dark King's side. We need to keep him close. We will need your intel when the time comes.
And what will you do?
I'll do my duty to the Midrealms.
Thea fit her boot to the stirrup and mounted her horse.
Then I wish you well, Warsword.
And you, Bear Slayer.
Yeah!
Leaving a spray of snow in her wake, she pressed her body close to the gelding's mane, holding on tight as the icy wind whipped around them. She kept her eyes on the road ahead, eager for tomorrow's dawn. As Althea Embervale rode across the Midrealms, the passing lands a mere blur, she felt the Furies given strength in her body and in her heart. She felt the ever-present crackle of storm magic too, simmering just beneath the surface, waiting to be unleashed upon her enemies. She rode restlessly through ice and snow. The hours meant nothing to her, only that they were hours that Wilder Hawthorne might be suffering. She tried to keep such thoughts at bay, but there was no stopping them. The only distraction was the occasional flap of wings from above, where the hawk Terrence had appeared, soaring in the moonlight. Thea found a small sense of comfort in his silent presence. Not soon enough, it seemed dawn arrived. A blood-red orb rose on the horizon, spilling wildfire hues across the sky as Thea reached the fork in the road. A lifetime ago, she had ridden through the valleys of Tavir with Wilder at her side.
When you pass the Great Rite, you come here immediately. You come to claim your stallion straight away. The horses will sense the rite on you. They will feel the call of the Furies. Remember that.
His words reverberated through her like an echo, and she could almost scent him on the wind. She looked to the first fork in the road, where in the far distance, the golden hills of Tavir and a warsword stallion of her own awaited her.
There are times in life to listen to your mentor.
She turned to the second fork.
And there are times to forge your own path.
Yeah!
But as she started down the road that led west to the seas and beyond that, the aisles that housed the Scarlet Tower, a beat of wings sounded. Thea whirled her horse around, seeing nothing. The wings sounded again.
Those aren't a hawk's wings.
Something much larger blocked out the rising sun. Shadows and darkness and a pair of great membranous wings. The ground shook violently as something, someone, landed before her. Thea drew her sword, her gelding rearing up in fright. She managed to control the horse with the Fury's given strength of her legs as the shadows faded and a towering figure emerged from the obsidian mist. Twin swords of Narvian steel swinging at his hips, red and black wings outstretched at his back. Thea didn't lower her sword, but instead narrowed her eyes as she studied the shadow-touched warrior before her. His dark hair, streaked with silver, was tied up in a knot at the back of his head. Olive skin peeked out from beneath his black armor. Delmirian, if she wasn't mistaken.
Who are you?
She noted the wisps of shadows still dancing behind him.
Someone who cares for Wilder as much as you do.
A determined gleam shone in the stranger's hazel eyes. Thea twirled her blade, her gaze narrowing in suspicion.
Is that so?
I'm the one they call the Shadow Prince.
His dark power thrummed in emphasis.
This is who my friend spoke of? This is the man who is supposed to be guarding the most valuable asset in Narva?
Thea dropped down from her horse and took a dazed step towards the huge man before her.
What are you doing on these roads?
He had yet to draw his weapon, but was poised for battle nonetheless.
I'm going to the Scarlet Tower. I'm going to save Wilder, and no one's going to stop me.
Are you sure you're up for that?
For the first time in her life, Thea let the leash she held on herself fall away, her magic surging forth. She embraced it with her whole heart. Lightning danced across her skin and traveled the length of her sword, sparking brilliant white bolts to life. Above her, ominous clouds rolled in. She leveled the stranger with a stare.
What do you think?
The winged man gave a wicked smile at the sight of her gathered power.
Good, because I want to save my apprentice. I can't do it alone.
Thea blinked, again noting the dual swords and a warsword totem strapped to his muscular right arm. He offered her his calloused palm and a roguish grin.
Talamir Starling, at your service, Warsword Zoltair.
Thea looked from his roughened, dirt-lined skin to his square jaw and clear eyes.
The dual-wielding champion. The Prince of Hearts. The legend of Thesmar.
She came back to herself, letting her magic dissipate as she took his hand and shook it firmly.
You're truly here to help me break Wilder out of the Scarlet Tower.
As I said, I can't do it alone. Nor can you.
Thea dropped his hand and, sheathing her sword, met his hazel eyes with a determined gaze of her own.
So be it.
So be it.
Talamir's wings flared at his back, onyx ribbons of power multiplying around them, bleeding across the golden rays of dawn.
It's time to take a walk on the dark side.
Thea watched as obsidian swallowed the world around her, the light growing fainter, the gust of wind from his beating wings coaxing her forward, her storm magic answering in kind. In the near distance, a bolt of lightning split the world in two. For all the uncertainty and danger that lay ahead, Thea knew three things. First,
I love Wilder Hawthorne with every fiber of my being.
Second,
I will do whatever it takes to get him back.
And third,
no one, neither man nor monster, is going to stop me.
And so, freshly forged with blood and steel, Warsword Althea Embervale, the Shadow of Death, stepped into the darkness to rescue her love.
I am the storm.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of The Legends of Thesmar, Book 3, Fate and Furies by Helen Scheura. Narrated by Dominique Salvation, Rainer Gabriel, and Nanette Savard, featuring Laura C. Harris as Thea, Denny Gavigan as Wilder, Katie Booth as Anya, Chris Stinson as Kip, John Vertulo as Cal, Rob McFadgen as Torj, James Konacek as Drottis, Eva Wilhelm as Adrian, Shanta Parasharaman as Jasira, Holly Adams as Audra, Danny Montooth as Talamir, Ellen Quay as Ren, Gerald Hill as Artis, Terence Aselford as Maurice, and Matthew Pauly as Everard, with additional performances by Kit Swan, Dawn Ursula, Debbie Tinsley, J.T. Lawndale, Delton Engel Sorrell, Michael Glenn, Eric Messner, N.J. Aguna, Ryan Haugen, Andrew Arceus, Eric Elizaga, Michael John Casey, Ozzy Jacobs, Tria Leong, Drew Copus, and Nora Sofian. Directed and adapted for graphic audio by Laura C. Harris. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Copyright 2024, Helen Scheura. Published by arrangement with the author. All rights reserved. Sound recording copyright 2026 by Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Graphic Audio is an RB Media audio brand. This recording is protected by copyright. Unauthorized copying, sharing, or distribution is prohibited. Thank you. Keep listening to hear a sample from Amber V. Nicole's Gods and Monsters Book 1, The Book of Azrael, now available in graphic audio. Find this title along with audiobook giveaways, discounts, new releases, recommendations, and more at graphicaudio.net.
The only thing that had not been destroyed was my heart. So, through the process of elimination, we had deduced that I would die if my heart were removed from my body. My stupid mortal heart was my weakness.
Yes, I know that.
His fingers pressed harder, digging into my chest. I didn't scream. I wouldn't give him the satisfaction.
Then why did you hesitate?
Why? I couldn't tell him the real reason.
Remember that I love you.
If he thought for a second that I prioritized anyone above him or his cause, he would end me here and now.
Because he has a family. By killing him, you are only creating more enemies for yourself. It's a complication with how close you are.
He held my gaze for what felt like eons before his eyes melted back to their hazel shade, and he released his hold on my hair. I felt his fingers ease from my chest, and he slid his hand from beneath my dress. He gripped my hips and spun me to face him so quickly that I almost fell to the side. His body pressed into mine as he leaned forward.
You care for me?
Yes. I reached up, rubbing a hand over my chest. The skin had healed, but the wet stain of blood coated my fingers. It wasn't a complete lie. I had cared for Caden in the beginning, until a few hundred years of excusing his behavior had grown old. He had never shared his secrets with me, but I knew there were parts of Caden that were deeply damaged, and I felt for him. Caden wasn't always as vile as he seemed. There were moments, fragments at least, where I could see something deeper within him. Something in his past had turned him jaded, cold, and vicious. So yes, I cared for him, but it was never love. It wasn't like those stupid movies Gabby insisted on making me watch. It wasn't the emotion the poets wrote sonnets about, or the way forms of literature describe it, but I cared. I would never be free of Caden, and even in this limited way, caring made it easier to stay. His lips brushed my cheek.
Good. Don't hesitate again.
I nodded, my hands still clutching the fabric of my dress. Caden still had me pinned between the sink and his hard body. Let me go. It was a request and a silent demand. One that meant more than where he had me now. One I often dreamed about when the fighting and violent nature of my life got to be too much.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.